has captured my attention since my early days in Krishna consciousness. Listen to what happened. I could see in my own life, but also in the life of others, that sometimes they were able to do something that was clearly beyond their scope of what they had learned, for instance, or which was also beyond their personality traits. Let me give you an example. It was in the culture in which I grew up, you would never go to someone who is very foreign to you, whom you have never met, much less would you offer them something. But I found myself very happily approaching strangers on the street in North Germany with a book they never ever planned to purchase, you know, Bhagavad Gita or Krishna book. And I saw them taking enthusiastically to it. So afterwards I asked myself, what was this? I would never do this, but I did it and it worked. I think this is the experience of many devotees because I saw it with many of my God brothers, and I see it today also, that many times devotees seem to be doing something which is not according to their natures, which is beyond their present skills and abilities and intelligence and whatever. And they do it happily with excitement. What is this phenomena? And this phenomena is called in Sanskrit, avesh. It's an empowerment where something of God's energy comes into you and makes you do the impossible. You remember Prabhupada spoke about this often. You may not be able to do it on your own, but with Krishna's mercy, everything is possible. So I would like to talk about some of the principles. My hope is that each one of you in this class will leave this class, open 20 temples or communities. I cannot stop joking. But that you do, that you will feel empowered and inspired in your devotional life. To also do things which previously you would have considered impossible. Is this a good subject?
Yes.
Good. So let us please say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, the next verse from yesterday. Many of you, we chant this every morning, so I immediately go into the full line chanting. No chet brahmatama satindriya vajisuta. No chet brahmatama satindriya vajisuta. Nit vod patam vishayadash yushunikshipanti.
Vod patam vishayadash yushunikshipanti.
Tedasya vasahaya sutamamung tamunde.
Tedasya vasahaya sutamamung tamunde.
Sangsara kupa urumit yubaye shipanti.
Sansara rupa urubhit yubaye shipanti.
No chet pramattama sadindriya vachisuta.
No chet pramattama sadindriya vachisuta.
Nidvot patam vishayadas yushu nikshipanti.
Nidvot patam vishayadas yushu nikshipanti.
Tedasya vasahaya sutamamung tamunde.
Tedasya vasahaya sutamamung tamunde.
Samsara kupa urumrityu baye kshipanti.
Samsara kupa urumrityu baye kshipanti.
Yes, please chant. No chet pramattama sadindriya vachisuta. Nidvodvatam vishaya das yushu nikshipanti. Tedasya vasahaya sutamamum tamunde. Sangsara kupa urumrityu baye kshipanti. Maybe one Vaishnavi, if possible. No chet pramattama sadindriya vachisuta.
Nidvodvatam vishayadas yushu nikshipanti.
Tedasya vasahaya sutamamum tamunde. Sangsara rupa urumrityu baye kshipanti. No chit. If we do not follow the instructions of Achyuta Krishna and do not take shelter of Balaram. Pramatam, careless, inattentive. Asat, which are always prone to material consciousness. Indriya, the senses. Vaji, acting as the horses. Sutaha, the chariot driver. Nidva, bringing. Utpatam, to the roadway of material desire. Vishaya, the sense objects. Das Yushu, in the hands of plunderers. Nikshipanti, throw. Te, those. Das Yavaha, plunderers. Sa, with. Haya, sutam, the horses and the chariot driver. Amum, all of them. Damaha, dark. Ande, blind. Samsara kupe, into the well of material existence. Uru, great. Mrityubhaye.
Mrityubhaye.
Fear of death.
Fear of death.
Kshipanti.
Kshipanti.
Throw.
Throw.
My dear devotees, when we do this word-to-word recitation, there is a particular, let us say, meaning in this, why we do it. See, when you do this for a few years, then you begin to get a feeling what the Sanskrit verse says, because you've heard samsara kupa. I heard this somehow rings familiar, or mrityubhaye. I can understand what this means. And as you do this, we do this yearly, you will get actually a feeling for this divine language, Sanskrit. But it's important that when you recite it, you do this with some curiosity to find out the verse, the translations to the words. Now, after some time, you will actually be able to, when you hear this Sanskrit, you will download some of the information. Okay, here is the translation of the verse. My dear devotees, you will have to concentrate on this one. It's a rather full image which we hear here. It's a known image to most of you, that your body is a chariot and the senses are the horses. But please listen to this interesting perspective. So, otherwise, if one does not take shelter of Achyuta, Krishna, and Baladev, then the senses acting as the horses and the intelligence acting as the driver of the chariot of life, both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body which acts as the chariot to the path of sense gratification. Wow, this was a lot of words. What does this mean? So, if we don't take shelter at Krishna, our path is difficult, because there is no empowerment, no guidance, no blessings on our way, and the chariot of life will go in the wrong direction, not in the back to Godhead direction, but for sense gratification, that direction. When one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping, and mating, the horses and the chariot driver are thrown into the blinding dark well of material existence, and one is again put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. So, the image is, I think, clear. We ride on the chariot of life, that is our body, which is pulled by the senses, the horses. There is a chariot driver. Do you remember who he is? Our intelligence, it says yes. Go to the bakery of Radhadesh. There are buns in the early morning. And don't go, I don't know, to the shopping center outside of Radhadesh. And so on. No? So the intelligence will say, go there, and then the body moves in this direction. Now we need direction to go into the spiritual world, or spiritual direction by Achyuta and Balaram. If we don't do this, we might again fall back into material life. This is the idea of this verse in simple language. Purport. Without the protection of Gaunitai, Krishna and Balaram, one cannot get out of the dark well of ignorance in material existence. This is indicated here by the word nochet, which means that one will always remain in the dark well of material existence. The living entity must gets strength from Nitaigor or Krishna Balaram. Without the mercy of Nitaigor, there is no way to come out of this dark well of ignorance. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many know this verse, so please let us recite it together. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudodaye Pushpavanto Shito Shando Tamonudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gouda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This material world is a dark well of ignorance. The fallen soul in this dark well must take shelter of the lotus feet of Gonitai, for thus he can easily emerge from material existence. Without their strength, simply attempting to get out of the clutches of matter by speculative knowledge will be insufficient. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sadasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, we are here at the moment in Belgium, and our neighbor is the Netherlands. The Netherlands have one motto, at least one province in the Netherlands has this motto. It says, I struggle and I emerge. This comes from the situation of the Netherlands. They are the lands beneath the surface of the ocean, and in order to, you know, get land, they needed to struggle and build these dams and have a very, very complex dike system which would take the water out and so on. It was a huge struggle to build this country and wrestle it, so to say, out of the hands of the sea. So they had at least this province, they had this motto, I struggle and I emerge. Now you will be amazed to hear that our great example of Krishna consciousness, our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, had this motto in his life. And even when he went for his last journey to Vrindavan, he had in his cupboard a little piece of paper, not a little, this type of size piece of paper, where this motto, I struggle and I emerge, was there. He struggled as he shed the old material body and left it behind, and he emerged a fresh soul on his way wherever Krishna wants him to come. No, I struggle and I emerge. For Maharaj, this motto meant something else than for the rest of the Netherlands. In a material consciousness, people struggle on their own. In spiritual consciousness, people make an effort to please Krishna and are empowered by Krishna's strength. This is a huge difference. A very good example of I struggle and I emerge is, of course, Arjuna. In the midst of the battlefield, he saw himself attacked by a vast majority of soldiers. He was the general of the Pandava army, and the Kuru army, which went against the Pandavas, was significantly more in numbers. I believe that the Pandavas, please someone correct me if I remember it wrong, had 5 Akshohinis, and the Kauravas on the other side had 7. You know, Akshohini is a division of a few 100,000 soldiers. So he was vastly outnumbered, and what was even worse, he was not really emotionally prepared to enter this fight, because he saw on the other side his teachers, his elders, whom he respected, to whom he went every morning and touched their feet out of respect. And there were many odds. Odds means things. Now, Krishna, in the 11th canto, tells him how he might be victorious. And Krishna is the Lord. He is extremely subtle in his expression. He said, Nimitta matram bhavasavya sachi. Be an instrument in my service. Then you will be able to do it. Be sanata, be under a Lord. Don't be anata, without a Lord. No? So Krishna's subtlety was, he called him Savyasachi, which means in our language an expert bowman whose arrow never misses the mark. He's so expert, you can place a few hundred meters away a hair on a target, and he will split the hair with his thing. He also addressed him as Parantapa, O you who can defeat your enemies. So Krishna acknowledged, you have extraordinary military powers, and you have always been victorious in all your battles and fights. Yes, Arjuna alone could finish a whole army. You know, he was so expert, so fierce. Once his fire as a Kshatriya awoke, no one could face him, really. But Krishna said, you have all these abilities, still you will not be able to do it alone. If you struggle alone, you won't emerge. You will be defeated. Therefore, be an instrument. No? That is Krishna's advice to Arjuna. Let us stop for a moment and think about the beauty of an instrument. Let us use an example which is close to Surabhi, a bamboo flute. It's a useless stick of bamboo, no? I mean, the body of the instrument, bamboo, it grows somewhere, and so on. Yet, imagine, Krishna blows into this bamboo stick, you know, there's a few holes. All the worlds are mesmerized. The sages who meditate can't continue their meditation. They lose the strain and the meditation breaks. The lotus on which the creator of the universe sits, Brahma, begins to swirl, turbulent. His eyes begin to moisten, tears happen, and come Brahma and Shiva. And also the best musicians in the universe. Who are the best musicians in the universe? The Rolling Stones. No. Who? Gandharvas. You know everything. Yes. They begin to become attracted because the flute song of Krishna is so superior to what they know. This is the beauty of an instrument. The instrument by far supersedes what it could do alone, because it is used by someone, and in this way transcends its own abilities by far. My dear devotees, if each one of us could become an instrument, we could do joyfully with a stress-free face. Well, is that true? Sometimes we need to put some, there is some challenge in us, for us, but there is sometimes a little stress, yes, but if you are an instrument, you are not worried by it, you are not broken by it. This is the beauty of an instrument. It can do things, although there may be stress and obstacles. It knows, oh, if Krishna wants, Krishna will use me. It's anyways not my own thing. The problem which an instrument could have, a human instrument, is that it begins to claim, oh, I'm doing this. And the moment the instrument makes the mistake and thinks, I'm doing it, these things happen because of me, it loses the empowerment. Imagine the pen of which Hermann Hesse used in order to write Steppenwolf, or what book do you know, Siddhartha. No, the pen would say, I did it. I should get the rights of the authorship. That would be a problem. Hare Krishna. So there is a very interesting description of an instrument and what this means in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It comes in the Madhya Lila 8th chapter, and everything in me urges me to give you this. There is a very important meeting between Ramananda Roy, a great devotee of the Lord, who was also a governor of a province, Vidyanagara, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first meeting is Ramananda Roy. He's a very wealthy man, very much appreciated by his people. Comes with a group of brahmanas who chant Vedic mantras, and I believe there were musicians also, to the banks of a river, and sees someone he had never seen before. It's a personality who sits on the banks of the river. He's tall, his body is golden, has an effulgence, he's absorbed in his own bhava, most probably chanting, and so on. And Ramananda Roy sees him. He comes, the main politician of the area, and he understands this is a divine personality. and they meet briefly, but they decide to meet in the evening when no one is around for Krishna Katha, talks on Krishna. So the personality, I think you all remember, is of course Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they meet, and the golden lord, the golden avatar, and Ramananda, who has seen him just one time earlier that morning. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm grateful that you came. Let us engage about and talking about Krishna. And Ramananda then begins to talk the Bhakti Tattva, Radha Krishna Tattva, and Rasa Tattva. Without going into the details, these are very elevated subjects which require a huge penetration to understand them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who takes the role of a listener, he says, I'm very grateful for what you explained. It has enlivened me and helped me to see Krishna everywhere. But Ramananda Roy gives a surprising answer. He says, Oh Lord, please do not put me into illusion. It is you who is speaking through my tongue. I'm only an instrument. And then he gives an example. He says, My dear Lord, my tongue, which is speaking all these things, is just like a stringed instrument, and you are its player. Therefore, I vibrate whatever arises in your mind, not in my mind. The stringed instrument he refers to is a veena. You have heard veena music? It has two gourds, like pumpkins, or so, but very nicely decorated. And then there is a wooden hollow piece, and then there are many strings. And it is considered an instrument of the gods. It's so beautiful. It's much older than the sitar, which is perhaps now more known in our civilization. And a veena player, he will have mastery over very, very complex, in our times we would say licks, that means guitar solos, they really knew how to play it, and they made this veena, which is only wood and strings and pumpkins, they made it come alive and produced music that is, as far as complexity is considered and the effect on the listener, just very, very, very beautiful. Hare Krishna Pujari, you are our friend, you are showing us Radha Krishna. Wonderful. But it only appears that the veena is alive. The veena is not alive. It remains all throughout just wood and pumpkins, pumpkin things and strings. The life comes from the player and his musical abilities and his abilities to express it. So, Ramananda Rai says, you are the life. You are, it's your mind which has conceived of Bhakti Tattva, Radha Krishna Tattva, Rasa Tattva, and so on. It's in your mind, and I'm just bringing it out, just like an instrument brings out the music which is in the heart of a musician. Do you understand the example? Now this example has a problem. Buddha Bhavana said, "Acha, it has a problem. It's from the Shastras, Maharaj. Don't be an atheist this morning." There is a problem in the comparison, in the total comparison. It brings out very nice that it is the someone else who uses the instrument brings the life, but it doesn't bring out your side of it. You are not lifeless. You are not just matter. Yes, there are bones, there are muscles, there are organs, and these are all matter. But that's not you. You are a soul. And this means, listen now very carefully, you always have the choice if you will cooperate with the one who is giving the ideas, if you, in Krishna conscious language, if you are cooperating with Krishna, or you can say, "No, I'm not." The lifeless instrument can't say, "If I take this and now," it can't say, "No, Maharaj, I don't want to play E, I want to play A." Here's E, you can see the E sound. It will not say, no, don't use me. I'm not your slave here. I am an entity on my own." Really? Yes. Can't you hear me thinking and talking? I want to play A. This is the A. No. Ooh, it's much better. I like this more than your E. This instrument can't do it. You can do it. "No, I don't want to go there, Krishna. No, I don't want to come to Jamashtami. I'd rather go into the cinema." You know, this is a difference. Therefore, my dear devotees, now you need to really listen. If you understand this point, your life will change. If you don't understand it, you will continue in an ordinary lifestyle. In all matters of devotional service, your own freedom of choice is essential. This must be voluntary, conscious, and sincere. Otherwise, you won't be an instrument. You will not agree to Krishna. This comes out in the ancient Bengali in the next verse. I want to read the verse to you. Here it is. Ramananda said, I will first say it in English and then in the old Bengali. Sri Ramananda said, "I'm just a dancing puppet, and you pull the strings, my Lord." No? This another example for what it means to be an instrument. The puppet is not moving on its own, it is moved. "Now I'm just a dancing puppet, and you pull the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance." This is the translation. The old Bengali goes like this. "Raya kai aminata tumi sutradara." Sutradara means the puller of the strings. The puppeteer. "Ye mata na chao taiche chahi na chibara." A Bengali would laugh at me, but I'm trying my best. So here, Nachibara means dance, and chahi means I want to dance. You are the puller of the strings, my Lord, and I want to dance like you make me dance. Not I just dance, but I want to dance. It's my desire, my voluntary, let me find this, conscious and sincere decision. I have made my choice, a free choice. I want to be So therefore the old text says, I want chahi, not just nachibara dance, I dance. No, I want to dance. And this is the very important principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna never ever will interfere with one thing, that is your own independence, your own choice, your own conscious decision to engage in his service. He's ready to give you knowledge. He's ready to give you shakti, energy. He's ready to even give you resources like money, a dress, cars, and so on. But he leaves it up to you, only you, if you want or if you don't want. The gifts which Krishna gives, it's described in Bhagavatam, they are free from distraction, they are spiritual gifts. The gifts which Krishna gives you, they don't result in misery. The gifts that Krishna gives you cause complete sensation of the chase for material pleasure. It means you become detached. But you, and only you, and no one else than you, has to say, I want these gifts. I want to become your instrument. I want to be used in your plan. Make me dance. Please make me dance as you please. This is the secret of Krishna conscious empowerment. And I think those of you who have read the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote when he arrived in America, no? The arrival prayers, it's known like this in our, they remember this one verse where Prabhupada says, make me, I'm just a puppet in your hands, make me dance, oh Lord, make me dance as you want. No? So he expresses, in other words, his desire, his great, let me say, his urgent desire, you can say, and so on. I would like to give you a few examples from the Pandavas' lives. Let me just look at the verse. Here we have a little time, and then open the forum for questions. Recently, I have studied the prayers of Queen Kunti because I had heard that when Prabhupada was ill, he asked for three things. He asked that a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev would be brought to him, and that the devotees would chant the Nrisimha prayers and Hare Krishna before this, and listen to this, that they would recite the prayers of Queen Kunti. Another time when Prabhupada had a heart, a stroke, a mild stroke, he again requested for this medicine, Lord Nrisimhadev, the chanting of his mantra and the prayers of Nrisimhadev. And even in 1974, I remember, Prabhupada was he came to Germany in that life and in that time, but he was afterwards or before, I'm so bad in memory, he was in India, and there was again a severe health problems. Prabhupada said he had suffered because of the sins of his disciples, you know, the breaking things. And he asked again for that the prayers of Queen Kunti be recited, and later he wrote in a letter, he said, I'm thanking you, the devotee who chanted the prayers, I am cured because of the prayers which you chanted. Because, he said, when we are in difficulties, we should not turn away from Krishna, we should turn to Krishna. And this is what Queen Kunti did. Briefly, for all of you, the situation is like this. The brutal war of Kurukshetra is over, and Krishna, who acted as the charioteer to Arjuna and was helping Arjuna in all matters in the war, is now sitting on his chariot, ready to drive to his own town, Dwaraka. He is about to leave Hastinapur and the five Pandavas and Queen Kunti, and he's just about to go. Then another calamity strikes. One of the last surviving warriors, Ashwatthama, who fought on the side of fought against the Pandavas, has thrown a devastating Brahmastra. So the Brahmastra comes, and everyone sees it, a fiery, glowing thing. It's like an atom bomb. And then it divides into six smaller Brahmastras. Everyone goes, five Brahmastras zero in on the five Pandavas, and the other Brahmastra goes and approaches the last, you know, the unborn Pandava, Parikshit, who's in the womb of Uttara. And it's in the midst of a goodbye ceremony. The Pandavas had come to say goodbye to Krishna. They didn't have their arms with them. They were unarmed. And now these insurmountable, heavy, life-destroying weapons come down, descend down on them and their only successor, who's still unborn, but who's in the womb. So Krishna sees it, and immediately, by his superior powers, finishes all the five Brahmastras. Then he enters in his own transcendental body, as the super soul, into the womb of Uttara, and begins to swirl his club, like an invisible shield, and the Brahmastra comes against the club and is defeated and dissolves. So Queen Kunti says, boom, Krishna again saved us. So then Krishna, Kunti thinks, yes, there's Arjuna, there's Bhima, there's Yudhishthira, my sons, they are so powerful, but I've just seen that only by Krishna's mercy they have survived this attack of Ashwatthama with the Brahmastras. And she says to Krishna, with tears in her eyes, my Lord, don't leave us now. Who will protect my sons? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna is on the chariot, he wants to leave, and Queen Kunti asks, don't leave us now. He says, there's Bhima and Arjuna. They are so strong. Yudhishthira is protected by Dharma, plus Nakula and Sahad. They will ensure your security. But Kunti says, no. Without you, my sons are like senses of a body without the soul. No? Have you ever seen a corpse? Everything is there. A tongue is there to eat pizza. An ear is there to hear music. All the senses are there. But without the soul, there is no life, no perception. So Queen Kunti knows, Krishna, we are dependent on you. You are the soul of our life. I could go more into details, but let me stop here. Queen Kunti acknowledges this. Also, Yudhishthira later said to Bhima once, all our opulences, Bhima, we have so much money, our good wives, they were not married only to Draupadi, they had other wives, our lives, our progeny, our control over our subjects, our victory over our enemies, and our where we will go in the future, our destinations, have become possible only by one person's mercy. You know? Krishna, says Nichintya. You whispered it. It was not 100% convinced. So work in progress. Yes. So all what we have is possible because of Krishna. My dear devotees, how do you think about this? Is your mobile telephone because of the mercy of Krishna? Your impressive shirts, ashraya, they say, no shirt, hoodies, no? Hoodies, yes. Special hoodies. Is that the mercy of Krishna or the mercy of Nischintya? Your musical skills, is it because you trained or because Krishna has given you? I think it's time for us to do a little introspection, my dear devotees. Where are we in regards to our faith in Krishna? Our problem is that because Krishna still keeps himself a little bit hidden and acts from the background of our life, that we think we are the actors, the doers, and so on. So, if you want to be empowered, if you want to say, I want to dance as you please, please, please use me like a puppeteer uses a puppet on the string, you will have to be no longer proud on your borrowed plumes. But you need to give credit to Krishna that yes, you are there, you can have desires. This is what we always learned in the early days in Krishna consciousness. The jiva can desire, material nature can give the facilities for our desire, the things, but it is Isha is the name of Lord Krishna, who sanctions it and says, yes, let so-and-so have a good mobile telephone, or let so-and-so get an ashraya hoodie, you know. Otherwise, if there's no sanction, you will lose your hoodie and your mobile telephone. Yes. So let us not be proud on borrowed plumes, but finally raise our eyes and say, my Lord, it is you who gives me everything. A proud person, my dear devotees, looks always down on everything. You are very untalented. And because he looks always down, he's like a person who looks always on his shoes. He can never see the sky. Pride means you look down on something, and in order to be a good devotee, you need to look up, not down. You need to look up on Krishna, and you will see that it is Krishna who acts. But if you always look down like this, I can never see you, my dear devotees, if I always look like this. I have to look up to see you. So I will never be able to see Krishna if I look always on my shoes, on the things which are lower than me. Hare Krishna. The next thing, my dear devotees, whatever you have, try to use it in seva, in service for Krishna. Your car, your abilities, use it in seva for Krishna. Then Krishna will give you more. I remember our Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He is a wonderful devotee who has left his body. I was very surprised. Whenever I came to India, he sent his personal driver and his car. He needed this. He constantly traveled. He met the prime minister. He opened 20 temples in Delhi alone. You know, he was really, he was at, and I said, Maharaji, you need the car and the driver. Why do you send it to me? And he said, no, Sachinandan Swami, Krishna has given us some wealth. We better use it in his service, in the service of the devotees. We better use it, otherwise we might lose it. No, this you, some of you, I have seen Govinda goes to fitness studio, and you know this thing about muscles. If you don't use them, you lose them, and no one will find you attractive. This we say, no, in the fitness branch, we don't use them. What you don't use, you lose. No. No one, every one of you knows it, but they don't know the, otherwise. Yes, what you don't use, you lose. It even rhymes. So use what you have in Krishna's service. Always know this is given to me. Be never spend money extravagantly. No, it's Krishna's money. Think when you'd go with your car, where is it cheaper to get benzene to save money? Think like this. Very important. Don't be proud on what Krishna gave you, but use it in Krishna's service. And one thing, please know, our real wealth is our connection with Krishna, not the worldly talents, not the fame, not the possessions, but our connection with Krishna. That is our real wealth. So these are three takeaways. Don't be proud on borrowed plumes. Use what you have in the service of Krishna. And remember, your real wealth is not in these external things. They come and go. As the Lord gives it to you. Krishna is most important. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What do you think? Something to think about, no? Something to think about. So yesterday was the day of Lord Balarama. I think we all have seen that this was a spiritually very full day, a day where Lord Balaram and what he stands for was very much present. No, did you see the deity of Lord Balaram, Krishna Balaram? See where this blue first canto of the Bhagavatam is? Can you see on the altar? It is beautiful installment, and on that step was Krishna Balaram. They stood there, very beautiful Balaram, and later they moved one step for the evening kirtan, higher. Yes. Yesterday we were so blessed to sit in the evening kirtan, which our Chinta Krishna did so masterfully and wonderfully. Yesterday we were blessed to see a theater play. Remember how Balaram was always protecting that devotee so that illusions would not be able to control them. He was really present. He was like the moon or the sun, always there. But we couldn't, the people couldn't see them. I think this was a very good analogy. We may not see Krishna, but we can feel his effect on us. We know how different we feel when we are Krishna conscious than if we forget him. Isn't it, Nishinja? We know, we can feel the difference. What else was yesterday? Oh, the feast! My God! I wish my grandmother would live to eat that feast. Feast was there. It was such a full day. Feast opened the day with, Mangal Arti, where there's many of you were there on that day. We worshipped the Lord on the altar from early morning. There were so many things I remember. Remember when the prayers were read during the kirtan. That was an unforgettable moment for me. Then so many things. Just now I forgot. I don't know. What? Julandyatra. We swing the Lord. Today? No. Today? No. Yesterday. Very drama. Drama? We had a drama, yeah. Buddha Bhavana's class. Remember how he said, how he quoted Prabhupada, who said Balaram is more beautiful than is most beautiful, but Krishna is most attractive. And he said we should think about this. Everything so good. Today is completion of the festival in the evening. I will leave tomorrow. I will try to leave early. this was a heavy monster tour which we just did. I was a little tired, but I will try to leave early. We will go for preaching in central Germany to a professor and his family and so on. Yeah, so I felt very enlivened here in Radhadesh. I usually only come, this was an extra visit. I was very, very happy how kind the Radhadesh devotees have been to all of us, no? So kind. I think it must be difficult for them. Imagine you are swarmed by so many people come and you have to share your spaces with them. But they are very kind by nature. Hare Krishna. So I will end here. Let me just look at the wrist. Oh, we have time. My God, what has happened? Few more minutes for questions, if you have questions. Yes, Ram Hari. Ram Hari is writing about religious experience in an academic context. I hope I will be able to answer the question. It must be very academic.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this analogy. I won't be asking about religious experience. But I really appreciated the point you made with this analogy of us being as an instrument, that the difference between the instrument and us is that we have free will, responsibility. But it made me think to choose, right? But it made me think a little bit further. I think there is another difference in that analogy, and that is the instrument knows what its master wants, and it seems that for us sometimes it's very difficult to realize what Krishna wants, especially when we are faced with nitty-gritty details of our everyday lives, when we have to manage our bodies and people around us, and it's often difficult to know how Krishna really wants us to dance. I think that sometimes we even have a will and a desire to dance how Krishna wants, but we really don't know, or we are faced with a lot of options, and so maybe you can shed some light on how to know how Krishna wants us to dance.
Yes, very good. Can you all relate to the question? What exactly does the Lord want me to do now? Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I stay or should I go? There's many options, Ramhari, when I was a little boy, my parents were music lovers. They liked to go to dance at ballrooms. Nice cultured family, not sinful things. And we had many records in our life. I grew up really with classical music because my parents wanted me to become a cultured person, which I have not managed to become. But and I remember there was one record company. I don't remember the company, but I remember their motto. It said, "His master's voice." And what it showed a dog, faithful dog. He was sitting before the gramophone. You know, there was this record player, and then there was this huge horn. You remember seeing this, and it was RCA his master's
Victor.
Voice.
RCA Victor.
Sorry?
RCA Victor.
The company.
Acha, the company. Okay. Yes, yes. Yes, you know better. So the idea was the dog would hear the record, and there was someone singing, most probably, and it would be so alike to the master's voice that the dog felt great happiness. You know, the company wanted to say, our music is so, you know, it's so real. It's like the master's voice for the dog who recognizes it. So I think in devotional life, there is something like Vani. If we read Prabhupada's books and continue to read, after some time, the concepts which we have read will accumulate to a good understanding what should be done. And if you, there is a verse which says, no one can say enough thank you to the Lord, because he has appeared in two ways. He has appeared as the super soul in the heart, and also the spiritual master from outside. So I have seen, when you bring these two together, you read the books of Prabhupada, and you really get into, when you read regularly, you will get a feel how he explains things. It's a certain, you will recognize his voice, really. And then the Lord in the heart will cooperate and give you proper directions and so on. But it takes some time and some willingness to learn and to listen. Prabhupada gives a very pragmatic, I mean, he says so many things, and it's unfair to reduce him to one statement. But one statement is, when you don't know, you asked your spiritual master. That is how in the Chaitanya Charitamrita he has approached this question. But there are many other things which he says. And one thing I feel is you have to learn the mind of the of our superior intelligence by studying it. That's why we read the books, because then we feel a higher intelligence speaks to us. And then if you're serious, the Lord will give you things. But if there is still a question, I would ask devotees in whom you have faith, who can understand you a little bit, who have affection for you, who talk. And sometimes, Ramhari, we have to live with a cloud of unknowing. We have to tolerate that. It will disperse after some time. But we have to be patient sometimes. And we cannot, Krishna may withhold an instruction from us until we are ready to hear. I have seen this in my life. I needed time, and then later, oh yeah, things became clear. But I needed time to purify my heart and so on. So in case this is too mystical, this answer, and you want 3 points, read in the scriptures, pray to Krishna in the heart, and things will reveal themselves. Sometimes through sources which you will find surprising in a conversation with someone, so on. Good. My dear devotees, we are all, this was a full festival. I would suggest, let me not take questions any longer here, because I feel in amongst us, we are now ready for breakfast. I will end here. I wish you all the best, and Hare Krishna.
Amen.